This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina, and I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second Bad Ideas host.
And my name is Zach Valenti, your third Bad Ideas host.
And welcome everyone to sniff our last No Bad Ideas episode of the year. We are, if we timed this correctly, this episode should be coming out the first week of December. We are taking a little bit of a break. We've been doing No Bad Ideas for 11 months this year. We're giving ourselves just like a little bit of time off around the end of the year and the holidays to just recharge the old batteries, work on a couple of other things, kind of finish off some other podcasting business that we have
at
the end of the year.
Maybe try to get some fun guests for 2022.
Maybe we'll be doing that.
Yeah.
But the No Bad Ideas feed is going to go a little bit quiet for the end of the year. We hope that you all have an amazing rest of your 2021. We hope that whatever holidays or celebrations or reflections you do for the end of the year, we hope that they're all absolutely awesome. And we'll be coming back at you. New episodes of No Bad Ideas will be back in January of 2022. And for our faithful patrons who make this show possible, don't worry. You may have noticed that you did not get charged at the start of December. The Patreon is going to be paused for this month while we take time off. You know, if we're not working, it doesn't make sense that you guys should be actively supporting us. But don't worry about it. We'll be back with more No Bad Ideas and more of the No Bad Ideas Patreon in 2022. But until then, we have one more episode to knock out and two more bad ideas
to bed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So are you guys ready to jump into our first bad idea?
Excited, nervous, sweaty.
I'm bringing the first bad idea today. And I'm excited because we're about to take bad to the next level. We're about to raise the roof on bad.
Okay.
Because we've talked about
bad.
Well, we may go straight through the roof. We may be punching a hole in the roof.
So this is a Willy Wonka situation.
Hopefully, best case scenario, it's a Willy Wonka situation. Okay. Maybe a different situation.
Cool.
We'll see.
Cool.
But as often happens, friends of the show often send in ideas or suggestions for things that would be good, no bad ideas fodder.
Mm-hmm.
And today, friend of the show, Ben Swerdlow, made me aware of the existence of a new subreddit. Or actually, I don't know if it's new, but it's new to me. And the subreddit from the people that brought us, you know, r/AmITheAsshole, the subreddit is r/AmITheDevil.
Yeah.
And it is basically the greatest hits of Am I the Asshole? And it's ones where it is incredibly, immediately, inescapably obvious that the poster is 100% the asshole. And in fact, asshole may not be a sufficient term for these very special flowers. So today I present to you, submitted for your approval, I think is what they actually said in the Twilight Zone. We have an entry from the subreddit, Am I the Devil, which reads,
okay,
am I the asshole for drinking whiskey in the office at 10:30 in the morning?
Oh boy, unless your office is a bar.
Don Draper, is that you?
Yeah.
Right, unless your office specifically employs you as a taste tester for whiskey.
Mm.
But Sarah, you're anticipating some of the themes of the essay today. So let's actually jump in. So The text of the bad idea reads, I, 38, male, work a stressful job in finance. After years of climbing my way up the corporate ladder, I finally became a VP at my firm, which comes with its own office. I consider myself a classic kind of guy, classic between quotation marks. And one of the things I admire most about the workplaces of the 1960s, think Mad Men, etc., mm-hmm. is that the characters always have a jar of whiskey in their hands, no matter what time of day it is. Back when I worked the trading floor, it would have been uncouth to do such a thing in front of my colleagues. But I figured no one would care about it now that I have my own office. I recently purchased some whiskey jars and a premium bottle over $500, which I store openly on my desk. I work with some high-end clients, and I'll always offer them a glass when we have important meetings. Unfortunately, none of them have ever accepted. So, not wanting to let the whiskey go to waste, I've started sipping on a couple of glasses by myself throughout the day.
Sometimes as early as 10:30 a.m. You just leave it there. You don't have... It's not going to go bad, my guy.
Wow.
Okay. So, you know, so he's sipping a couple of glasses by himself throughout the day, sometimes as early as 10:30 a.m. That was until yesterday morning when one of my bosses, the CTO, burst into my office unannounced and caught me sipping. He looked shocked, turned his back, and left. At this point, the bottle was about half empty, so it probably looked bad to him. Although, I must add, this was consumed over the course of a whole week. I was drinking slowly enough that it didn't affect my work in any way. He sent me a long email about how I have a problem and that he's going to contact HR. In the heat of the moment, I sent him a reply telling him maybe...
Wait, do you mean on a quarter of the bottle?
Oh, no.
In the heat of the moment, which may include some of that bottle, I sent him a reply telling him maybe he needs a glass or two to lighten up.
Oh, my God. This guy is so fixated on this fucking whiskey.
Wow.
I'll admit to being the asshole for that part. I'm scheduled to speak to HR tomorrow, and I'm shitting it. Reddit, am I really the asshole for sipping whiskey privately in my office?
Not the devil, but also a fucking idiot.
So wait, so
just
that's
a moron. So that just is a finance bro. That's all you are.
So wait, because that's the end of the original post, but there's an update. There's an edit.
Oh, no.
So edit. It seems that I'm the asshole. Sad smiley face. I'm guessing because of the avalanche of people that commented on the original one being like, yes, you absolutely are the asshole. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, I was hoping that they weren't going to walk in and HR be like, can I get you a glass of whiskey? You know where you work. Fuck that CTO. No, this sounds like it actually ended in some discipline.
So wait. So it seems that I'm the asshole. Continue. Sad smiley face. I'm going to ensure that the whiskey / the drinking is hidden from public view in the future. And that there's no
the
drinking before lunchtime.
Wow.
Indeed it is.
That's
it still sucks. It still sucks that I don't get to be Don Draper, though. Sad smiley face.
Wow.
Okay. I have lots of thoughts. That's what I have. Mostly.
That's what I have for you.
Television depictions of masculinity.
Yeah, this sounds too depressing to be fake. Like, I want this to be fake, but I'm afraid it's not.
It's absolutely not.
It's just delivered or written, at least, with such conviction, with just such, like, you know. So anyway, guys, have fun. Let me set this 10-minute timer, which is running starting now.
Okay. So let's see here. We have a cosplayer with too much money and
I kind of want to flip it around because I don't want to spend any more time with this gentleman in his. It's not even a corner office. He just got an office and
it
was like,
could
haha,
be a corner
I'm Don
office,
Draper.
But we don't know.
Right. It could also be a cubicle.
Yeah. I mean, he's a VP. It's probably an office, but not like a C-suite. Anyway,
right.
My point being, let's not spend time with this man. I am interested in the story of like the small batch distillery that is not having any luck on the open market, but figures out that it can sell whiskey to Don Draper cosplayers and sort of makes a devil's bargain to market itself to finance bros, and then gets into all the trouble that happens when you're marketing things to finance bros.
I see. Okay.
That's my pitch.
Uh-huh. Now,
is that it's like this hippie sort of iconoclast distiller who's making whiskey in an interesting way, but they're not having any luck, and then they sell their soul to sell to corporate. Mm-hmm. That's my pitch.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, can I yes and that and be like, please, this distiller is, and I apologize in advance.
Oh boy, I love it when that's necessary to say.
So the distiller is like really not getting it. Like their margins are shit. They're like really mm-hmm. struggling. It's like putting a strain mm-hmm. on the family, and he's just like trying to figure it out. And at some point, like right when they get like the sort of the pink slip of whatever sort on their front door, like the bank is going to come repossess the house or something, the savvy 16-year-old son or daughter or, you know, child sort of rolls in and is just like, "Dad, it's about time we talked."
Mm-hmm.
And the dad always thought it was weird that they had this sort of like fake cigarette and like kind of walked around like Don Draper, this child of theirs.
The 16-year-old.
That's right.
Okay, so the 16-year-old is like... Is an aspiring finance bro.
Not a finance bro at all. Specifically Don Draper. Just like watches that show, like got a suit and just like walks around like...
Coiffed his hair.
Or her. Yeah, just like... it's just like sort of an aesthetic.
Sure.
Okay, so they are aesthetically interested in Madison Avenue 60s, that sort of chic.
Right. And pitches their dad on the like, "Look, you have a generation of people of like professionals that grew up watching this show who want to be him. We just have to get the right branding out there. And this is going to fly mm-hmm. off the shelves."
Oh, so a 16-year-old gets to be Don Draper by doing the marketing pitch.
But they have been dressing this way and are sort of obsessed with the, like the sort of like style beforehand.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And they're too young to drink the whiskey. Like dad's never let them drink the whiskey. They're not allowed.
No, of course not. Yeah.
But like they've had...
No, but I'm interested. This is someone who has studied a television show and like absorbed the style and then gets to sort of take on the role of the main character and becoming an ad man.
And none of their friends like give a shit about this show. It's like not hot. It's not Riverdale, right? Like it's not on Netflix.
Sure.
It's, you know, it's like AMC, what? Like Mad Men? It seems like boring or something. I just don't know how popular it is with like Gen Z or whatever 16-year-olds are called these days. And so, yeah, so they get to sort of work out this Don Draper fantasy to save their family's business, but it works too well.
Okay.
Yeah. They start being an asshole in the ways that Don Draper's an asshole.
Right, as a 16-year-old. And maybe, like, the pinnacle of the thing is, like, they try the whiskey and they're not supposed to, and, like, they get in big trouble. Or maybe we don't go that route. I don't know. I feel I'm not married to this idea, but...
So one moment. Like, no, like, I think that so far so good. I just need to kind of, like, shore up a couple of things.
Yeah.
Like, what... And I know this can be pretty sketchy, but just, like, sure. So we can really dig in. Like, what is the marketing scheme? Like,
scheme is, like, you, too, can be the man. Like, it's, like, very much, like, playing into that, like, Don Draper image.
So, like, it's like we're going to make, like, specific, like, 60s ad man style branded whiskey.
And, like, direct to consumer on, like, on TikTok or whatever. Or,
okay.
Or Instagram, you know. And just...
Sure. So we are no longer even, like, trying to go by getting, like, shelf space on liquor stores. Instead, we're taking, like, that ad budget.
Sure. Right.
And we're, like, you know, directing it all to kind of, like, you know, hey... Finance Bros Inc. Like, right. We want to sell like to this, you. How many bottles do you want us to send directly?
This Reddit asshole got the idea for his stupid thing, not just from watching the show, but literally like up one night on the toilet, just scrolling through and like, oh my God. Like, I want to look like,
you
that.
Know, like your professional office is not complete without the drink trolley.
That's right.
And no drink That's, trolley is complete there we go. Without McCallican's, you know, Adman right, right. whiskey or whatever.
There we go.
Got it. Okay, cool. All right, great. So the campaign is set in motion. Presumably, they do better than the distillery has in the past, right?
Right. It's like, it gets too big. And in that, I don't know if you guys know the story of Burt's Bees, that like lip balm and like other...
Yeah.
Like, it has a very, like, folksy story of, like, how it came mm-hmm. to be and then got, like, super corporate at one point and, like, sure, left sure. Bert in the, like, with the bees in the woods.
Bert got kicked.
Exactly. He got kicked to the curb and the thing, like, became a multinational.
Right. So suddenly this precocious teen is running kind of, like, a corporate enterprise and, like, folksy dad is left back at the log cabin kind of wondering what happened.
Right.
And, ultimately becomes... Or go ahead, Gabriel.
My biggest concern is that this seems like nothing as much as a 15 years later sequel to The Boss Baby. Like, this sounds like what The Boss Baby does once they're old enough to be a 16-year-old after, like, you know, years of stewing and planning.
I haven't seen Boss Baby.
I mean, nor should you.
Nor should you. You're fine. What we could do is tweak it and have the 16-year-old... not have been a madman stan weirdly, but just like was aware mm-hmm. of the show and like kind of got the Don Draper shtick and saw through it and was like, I can pretend to be a stupid right. manly man and sell whiskey to idiots. Like,
they're into business, they're into capitalism and into winning, and like they see an audience to be exploited.
Or not even, they're like, I can see the way that this system works and I think it's bullshit, but I think I can game it. And eventually sure. then the trajectory is they get drawn in and suddenly they blink and they're in a corporate office.
I see.
right. So maybe the suits come later. Like maybe like at the beginning, that's what I'm saying. They have kind of like, you know, like torn jeans and like, you know,
hoodies all the way.
All the way. Exactly. And like, you know, and it is sort of this like, you know, we're going to take the system down. And then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, this is a fucking nice suit. Like, what is this? Like fucking like, no, this is velour. This is a velour suit. Ooh, it feels so nice. I can get used to this corner office. Maybe I need a drink trolley. You're not old enough to drink. Who said anything about me drinking it? I just need it. I just need to have it.
Make it right, the right impression. Just,
that's right.
Yeah. And then I think eventually that's an interesting, you know, sort of version of an old story of kind of, you know, rags to riches to, I assume there will be some sort of a fall back down to, you know, maybe they've made enough money to save the distillery for their local community, but no longer is McCallican's the toast of the financial district.
Well, and I think that like, yeah, like the dad needs to never be quite on board with this. And like the kid is like, look, you're about to be, you know, you're about to be bankrupt in 4 months if you don't do something. Now's the time to go for a big swing. If it doesn't work, you're not going to be any worse off. Like the only thing that's going to happen is you're going to be broker slightly faster. So why not? And then they make money and the dad is like, cool, done. Let's go back. And the kid is like, what? I can't hear you over the sound of all the phones ringing with money. Gotta get
That's right,
son.
I'm not going to send myself to college, Dad. Or wait. No, that's exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah, no.
I'm going to send myself to college. Thanks for the loan.
right.
Except I don't have time for college now.
Right.
So there's 20 seconds left on the clock. How does it end?
He gets in too deep. He should have never started accepting cryptocurrency because now the cyber mob is after him. And he has to fake his own death.
It involves burning a suit.
That's right. The only thing they found of him was his tailor-made suit, exactly to his measurements.
Yeah,
I love it. Yeah. All right, that is time. That's time on that bad idea.
Wow.
God damn! What an idea. Also, what an asshole.
Yeah.
Not a devil, but a gaping asshole.
Yeah. No, it's one of those things where, like, you start to read it instantly, you're like, you're the asshole. And then you keep going and it's like, oh, I there are layers to this. And you're an asshole on every one of the layers.
On every single one. It's truly incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last turn was the one that made me particularly feel like punching him in the face.
No, and you're absolutely right, Sarah, in what you said of like, yes, the idea for the lesson here was definitely I'm going to keep my drinking more hidden now, not I should stop drinking while in the office.
Yeah, no. And then the like, too bad I can't get to be Don Draper.
It's such a shame. Nah. I wasted my life.
I'm glad everyone else can relate to me on this website.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It's an incredibly relatable problem.
All right. Well, we're going to go away for a second, but then we'll be right back with another relatable question mark problem.
Oh, God.
Right after this quick message.
Hello there, Zach Valenti jumping into this episode with this brief reminder that we have an active Patreon page to support the production of No Bad Ideas and all the other crazy worlds we're building behind the scenes. To check that out, scope the sweet rewards we offer for monthly subscriptions as well as how to sign up yourself. Head on over to nobadideaspodcast.com/support. Once more, that's nobadideaspodcast.com/support. If you already support the show, we so appreciate that. And regardless, thank you for listening. All right, let's get back to more No Bad Ideas. And we're back.
I am glad that we're all still sober.
Zach? I couldn't hear you over the sounds of my clinking whiskey jars.
Clink. My whiskey's going to go bad, Zach. I only have two years to drink it all.
Jesus.
Come on. We got to do this show. So that we can go drink this whiskey before it goes bad. Let's go.
Well, I am going to deliver you.
No bad ideas encourages everyone to drink responsibly and lawfully. Mm. Blah, 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 blah. This was all a joke. Please, nobody drink just because we just said that we were. Sorry, Zach. Continue.
That's the one. Well, on that note, I'm going to deliver you this second helping of badness before it goes worse.
Please deliver us from that first one. Like, please take us away.
Oh, this is not going to be any better.
Oh, no.
But maybe more entertaining in a lighthearted way. I'm going to withhold the title for spoilers and let this drama unfold from a brand new site of, at least to this feed, allthat'sinteresting.com, ATI.
Ooh, I love things that are interesting.
A woman in Texas received a nasty shock while trying to update her married name. She was a criminal for a crime she didn't even remember committing.
Oh my God, is she a sleepwalker?
Wait for
it. Is she a sleepwalker?
Oh, dude, you may be a criminal by the time we're done with this. In fact, she was guilty of a crime most people of a certain age have probably committed.
She's totally a sleepwalker.
Oh no.
20 years ago, she forgot to return a VHS tape.
Oh no, I'm a criminal. 100% guaranteed.
Karen McBride, 52, made the discovery during a trip to the DMV. The former Oklahoma resident had moved to Texas and gotten married and needed to update her information. Quote, I went to change my driver's license during this COVID thing and you had to make an appointment, McBride said. They told me that I had an issue in Oklahoma. She was mystified. She called the number that the DMV had provided and was connected to the Cleveland County District's Attorney's Office. During that conversation, McBride was floored to learn that she was a wanted felon. The first thing she told me was felony embezzlement, so I thought I was going to have a heart attack, McBride said.
Jesus.
Then she learned what crime she had committed.
What?
She told me it was over the VHS tape, and I had to make her repeat it because I thought, this is insane. This girl is kidding me, right? She wasn't kidding. In 1999, someone had rented a copy of Sabrina the Teenage Witch in McBride's Name from an Oklahoma video store called Movie Place.
Let's go.
Oh, my God.
I love that Melissa Joan Hart is involved.
Yeah.
When no one returned the VHS cassette, charges were filed.
Dun, dun.
According to court documents, McBride was charged in March 2000 for felony embezzlement of rented property. The charges stated that McBride did willfully, unlawfully, and feloniously embezzle a certain one video cassette, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, of the value of $58.59.
Dang.
McBride was stunned.
This country, man.
Not only did she not remember ever renting the VHS cassette, but she didn't even like Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Oh, no.
This is sacrilege, of course.
Yeah, that show was perfect.
Quote, I have never watched that show in my entire life. Just not my cup of tea, McBride said. Fair.
You're missing out, girl. It's great.
Meanwhile, I'm a wanted felon for a VHS tape, McBride added. I mean, I didn't try to deceive anyone over Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I swear. As she absorbed the shocking news, it dawned on her how such a thing could have happened. In 1999, she had a roommate. Quote, oh, I had lived with a young man. This was over 20 years ago, McBride explained. He had two kids, daughters that were 8, 10, or 11 years old. Oh. And I'm thinking he went and got it and didn't take it back or something.
Wait, it's so much less funny to me if he was getting it for his daughters than if he was just getting it for himself. Yeah. For some chill time with Sabrina.
I was going to say, because 52 is a little old, even for like...
It would have been like someone in like their like mid-30s getting like unwinding with like some Sabrina the Teenage Witch. But okay.
Which,
okay.
I mean, it's a great show.
We don't judge. But... Yeah, it's a great show.
I mean, I've watched at least the first season of the new Netflix one. So, in fact, the more McBride thought about it, the more other parts of her life seemed to suddenly make sense. Since 1999, she had been fired from a handful of jobs. Her employers had never given her a reason. Now, she thinks that her criminal background is why. Quote, when they ran my criminal background check, all they're seeing is those two words, felony embezzlement, McBride said. Fortunately, it seems that McBride won't be a felon for very much longer. The Cleveland County District Attorney's Office announced that they would dismiss the case against her. However, McBride will still need legal intervention to have the felony charges cleared from her record. Stories like McBride's are an echo of an era long past. The store where McBride rented Sabrina the Teenage Witch closed in 2008. Blockbuster, once the largest video rental chain in the United States, closed most of its locations in 2014 after declaring bankruptcy in 2010. However, isn't alone in accidentally keeping a VHS tape past its return date. And surprisingly, she's not the first person to face charges for it. In 2016, a North Carolina man was arrested for failing to return a VHS cassette he rented in 2002, Freddie Got Fingered. That man was arrested.
Oh my God. That's not worth it. That one's not worth it.
Not by a long shot.
We stand by Sabrina, but not by Freddie. Nope. There are limits.
That man was arrested after being pulled over for a busted taillight.
Oh my God.
The officer said, I don't know how to tell you this, but there's a warrant out for your arrest from 2002. Apparently, you rented the movie Freddie Got Fingered and never returned it. I thought he was joking, said the man. It just goes to show everyone should double check their closets for an unreturned VHS tape.
Oh my God.
I'm sure I have at least one. Jesus Christ. Oh my God.
And with that, folks, I'm putting 10 minutes on the clock and rubbing my hands together.
Thank God I was too young to rent things in my own name.
No, that's the thing. It would really be under my mother's name.
No, it would be my mom or my dad.
First of all, Zach, like, hats off and chef's kiss. I needed that. This is incredible. Laugh. I needed all of those laughs. That was amazing. Okay, two two ideas, two possibilities present themselves. Okay.
We're casting Jeff Daniels as a defense attorney, right?
Probably. One way or another, it all goes back to Jeff. So one is basically a like low level Hot Fuzz ripoff, where there's this like very, very good but very intense investigator that is like super fucking by the book and super inflexible and like just like makes everyone's life a living hell, and all the other detectives and even his bosses are like, fuck, this guy's the fucking worst. What could we do to get him out of our hair? And someone has a bright idea of like, let's put him in like the unreturned VHS department. And like, you know, that's a black hole. Like nothing ever gets done there. And he like gets it and is like, I will become the master solver of these like cold cases. I will track down the people that, you know, have not returned, you know, Joe Dirt ever since 2001.
The movie Holes.
Yes. Yeah.
Love the movie Holes.
That's option one, which I think is sillier and funnier. Option two that I think will make a better movie is the movie about someone that has like a brief, like 6 month stint with a roommate. And then 2 years later finds out that that roommate falsified enough information from her that he has now gone on this criminal spree in her name. And like, she kind of now needs to kind of like face this encroaching and like closing in legal system. But at every turn, you know, there appear more things that her roommate has done with her stolen identity. So those are kind of my two pitches off of this. A truly hilarious, truly outstanding story. Jesus Christ. What do you think, Sarah?
I like them both. I think, you know, the roommate identity stealing has more room to run, in that like there can be a bunch of things that this roommate has done in the protagonist's name, and it can lead to avoiding criminal charges. They, you know, it can be kind of like a North by Northwest situation where they get caught up in being a spy and like end up in sort of this like larger world.
I like that even a little bit better. Like, you know, it's not even petty crimes. It's like her roommate used her out of desperation as a cover story for some like crimes.
Thought, can this be the origin story for Ana de Armas's character in James the new Bond? Yeah, this is how she gets to the CIA.
Sold. And yeah, and like, you know, briefly she does get arrested and is in trouble, but Jeff Daniels shows up as a defense attorney.
As a defense attorney, then get her off for the expired VHS. Yeah.
That's right.
The expired VHS was supposed to be was not filled with a movie. It was brought to a drop.
No. There's microfiche inside that VHS has the drop coordinates for, you know, where the nerve gas is going to be released.
Buried.
And they need to get that to the big boss off in the, you know, like the whatever, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Spy shit.
Right.
At a certain point, it's just spy shit. But it's
at
like
at a certain point, it's just spy shit. Yeah.
But again, chases, but it is.
We go West Coast, East Coast. We're in Canada for no reason at all. Now we're in Bermuda. Like, spy shit. It just happens.
It's spy shit. It writes itself. But again, but like the key is that at every turn, everyone is convinced that she is this grizzled fucking agent that has been trained since they were 17 to do this mission. And she is just like, the only thing that I'm trained in is Microsoft Word. And like, just barely. Like, I promise you that I'm not this person. And they're like, we really applaud your commitment to like the cover story. Like, this is like very admirable. Understood. All right, here's your parachute. You know what to do. And she's like, no, I don't. There's kind of a lot of that. A lot of people assuming that she's James Bond when really she is not James Bond.
But she finds out that she's weirdly good at being James Bond.
Yeah. I think that the title of the movie may be You Know What to Do.
Which in the 5 minutes you have left, there's a lot you can do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So I guess there's a villain plot that's going to be uncovered, but there has to be a confrontation with the roommate.
The real roommate. Yes.
Yeah. So my question is the roommate, does the roommate then sort of take on a mentor role, or is the roommate a double agent that then they have to take down?
I kind of like the idea of, like, at a certain point, she's able to, like, extricate herself out of the spy shit. And she's like, holy shit. Well, never mind. All fucking that. And she, like, goes back to her home being like, well, thank God I can now just, like, settle back in. And it's like, you know, hey, roommate, like, you know, hey, new roommates, I'm back. And they're like, yeah, of course you're back. You were only gone for like 10 minutes. Like, you know, and she's like, no, yeah, I haven't been here for 3 months. And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? You just left 10 minutes ago. And that's when she realizes, oh, my God, it was Grand Theft Me. She like let me get subsumed into her life and she took over mine.
Did you swap?
Yeah, exactly.
Call Vanessa Hudgens. We have a better Princess Switch idea.
So like at first she thinks that it's just kind of a like, oh shit, like, you know, something has gone horribly wrong and they think that I'm her. And then it turns into, oh no, she engineered this so that I would be stuck in like spy land, realistically really get killed because I should have gotten killed for a lot of that.
Like a million times. Yeah.
I did not know what I was doing. And then she has to go back
to the spy world to take down the roommate.
That's right.
I love it.
Yes. So there's even like this element of like kill build to it.
In the apartment building.
That's right. Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because why not?
Yeah. You know, like it's a great, especially if it's a movie, it's a great like prop around the fight, a Christmas tree, because it can kind of like get like knocked down and makes like a really satisfying like smashing sounds as it hits the ground.
You can use the lights to trip. Yeah, you can use the
lights, like throw like those like big glass balls that people use as ornaments. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's it's a very good for a visual fight Christmas. Absolutely.
Sorry, but what were you going to say?
No, so I wonder whether it's like, whether confronting the roommate is like an interlude in the middle of the movie or whether it's like, you know, she goes, she stops Ernst Stavra Blofeld or whatever the equivalent in this universe is. And as an audience member, you're kind of like, hour 10 minutes, short movie. Okay, that got buttoned up. And then you get back and all of a sudden it's like, oh, fuck, there's still half an hour left. You gotta, because like now you gotta deal with like the person.
It's the roommate, yeah. With this,
you know, now we had the normal person in spy world. Now we have to deal with the spy that has infiltrated normal person world.
Yeah.
And you get to sort of see like, you know, now our person is very adept at using like guns and shit, but like the spy has gotten very good at like fighting with like roller pins and like, you know, clothes iron and like all of these like domestic items that she can turn into weapons of mass destruction.
Right. And then they face off and that's, and I think that would be the end of the movie, but then going forward, you're well set up for like a Mr. and Mrs. Smith situation, where they use,
where
sort of
they're
the
now
domestic
married
world.
Afterward.
And oh yeah, or I mean, or like the protagonist marries someone who they met in Spy World, but like brings them into
sure.
Yeah,
yes, sort of yes, life. And they are now, and they're now like quote unquote retired. But how retired are you ever?
But
really?
How retired are they really? Yeah,
right. Yes, you know, how satisfying really is that job in finance that she got him? They don't even let him drink before 10:30.
I see what you did. In the 40 seconds left, do you want to stick with the earlier name?
I continue to like You Know What to Do. Yeah, I like it. You Know What to Do, starring Ana de Armas and Vanessa Hudgens. Call us, Netflix. We'll make this happen. It'll be
Vanessa
amazing.
Vanessa Hudgens needs to play a villain. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. And what's great about this is that you get both. No matter which one you get, you have to spend a little bit of time playing the villain. You got to spend a little bit of time playing the hero.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
100%. No,
does
I think
Lin want to make an action movie next? Because, like, he could do that.
You want to make an action movie next, Lin? Trust us.
And that is time. And thank you both for a killer adaptation of this.
Oh, it ran
murderously
very far.
Outraging.
It ran very far afield, but that is okay.
That is okay. Look, I'm thrilled that we were able to do that. I'm thrilled that we were able to develop it into this more complex drama. I'm even thrilled that we got a Christmas tree in there for those of our listeners who celebrate Christmas or who, like me, enjoy seeing action sequences based around Christmas trees. So I think that's great. And again, I needed that laugh sack. That was so great.
I'm happy to deliver it.
Jesus. Oof.
What a great note to end the year on, guys.
I know. What a great last bad idea for the year. You know, guys, I sometimes worry. Do you think that maybe it will be when we're back in 2022, there'll still be bad ideas? I worry that they'll run dry, that people will just stop having bad ideas for us to turn into silly movie pitches.
I'm impressed you finished that sentence.
Yeah. And my response is, ho, ho, ho. You think Santa's not going to have a year's worth of badness for us this year?
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's much of a holy ghost of a chance that's going to happen. So, dear friends, we hope that you have an amazing rest of 2021. We hope that you see the year out in both safety and style. And we hope that we'll see you again back here in 2022 for more No Bad Ideas.
This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our Idealist members, Jennifer Schneider, Rena Sarame, Jeffrey Felsher, and Dia. Today's episode features music by Stateshire and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And if you love this show, please leave a rating or review wherever you listen and share it with someone you love.